Today's talk, how to stop sabotaging yourself, basically getting out of your own way. And our speaker tonight is in Berlin, Germany, and Carolyn is going to be sharing with us. She works as a research, she works at a research institution on stability and sustainability, my goodness, sustainability and science in Germany, designing and facilitating dialogues, my goodness, for stakeholders at the UN climate change conferences. Negotiation, listening, learning to hear someone else, but also doing that with yourself, learning to hear what your own values are teaching you and what you need to do for your own well-being. So are we good at self-sabotaging ourselves? I think most of us are. I know I can be very good at it and I have to watch out for it. So what doing the things that are holding us back, stopping us from getting to where we want to go, how do we bypass this? How do we stop self-sabotage? What are the strategies that we can go back to and look and explore so that we can live our life full of potential? Carolyn is going to be sharing and then doing a very short meditation and then taking your questions. If you would like to send questions to be put to Carolyn, there is a question and answer link. Please do click on that and send your questions and I will be putting them over to Carolyn. Carolyn, over to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ati. So good evening, everybody. And thank you for inviting me, actually. It's a beautiful opportunity to meet you online and I'm looking forward to your questions. I started this journey of inner inquiry actually quite young, when I was 19, or even before that. But when I was 19, it became a more regular practice for me to research my own self. And the topic of self-sabotaging is indeed a topic which I have been working on myself a lot, realizing how I block myself. So in this little talk, I will start with aspects of how we can recognizing that I'm actually blocking myself, that I'm sabotaging myself. And then we will be looking at what is happening in that process actually, and which effects does that have? What are the results of these processes? And then we briefly look at some reasons, possible reasons for these patterns. And then the most important thing, how to stop that vicious circle. And finally, some practices we can use. And I like to say that, as you can hear, I'm not native English speaking, so please excuse my incorrect English, my not proper pronunciations, and probably I will look for some word at one point. Okay, how do I recognize that I sabotage myself? One example is that, for example, I can invest a lot of time and energy for doing something, for creating something, but somehow the efforts don't bear the fruits they should. The outcomes are not that as they should be. Another possibility is like life presents me with opportunities, and somehow I always bypass them. I always don't take them due to whatever reason, different reasons. And then I see them kind of myself losing out of them. Or it can be that I mix something up, you know, I mix a date or the time, and suddenly I'm at the wrong place at the wrong time, and therefore I miss someone or something. Sometimes also it can appear like there is something in front of you, but you can't see it. It's like blended out. You know, as if you have, as if you are either color blind or you have a hole in your retina, on your eye, like then there is a little, it sees, you just see black on that area. Or maybe, you know, from childhood, there were always these pictures in little books where there are lots of things and you have to compare with another picture where something is missing and you don't see what is missing because it's so little. So it's like a process where something in us is not able to see something, or any of the senses, like someone says something to you, but you somehow didn't hear it, like these kind of things. And if this is happening to you in some of these examples, then repeating again and again from time to time, and maybe they are similar situations, then that can be a sign that you're doing something unknowingly that creates this situation. And then the process, as I already used some pictures, how we can imagine what's happening inside of us, can be also another picture could be like that, like you look through a camera and you don't adjust it properly. And so it's blurred and you cannot really see, it's unclear. And basically something in the outer world and the inner world is not matching. You're not matching with reality in your perception. And that's very difficult to realize because from your perspective, that's what is the reality. That's what you see, or that's what you hear. But it's manipulated, you can say. It's not how it is really. You need something to either someone else who kind of says what he or she is seeing, like someone to compare your view. And that's something you can do practically. Right? Here's already one start how to get out of it. But let's stay a little bit more with looking at the process. And the other way around is the same. You can also project something which is not there. So you see something which is not there, or you hear something which hasn't been said like that, but it's kind of made up in your own mind. You don't realize it. So something which there is a kind of disturbance between you and the flow of life also. Like, to my understanding, life has a certain rhythm. And when you are very conscious and you're doing your inner work, you can connect with this rhythm, and then you can somehow align with rhythm, and then things like momentums come and you take them. And these moments, which actually I think are normal, we are not happening, or are not this flow of life is not happening, and you're not aligning with it. And these are like disturbances or barriers, or somehow there are hindrances, or something feels like stopped. You know, there's something building up, but then suddenly stop. So complications come in your way. And of course, that on the long run can create some dissatisfaction and some sadness inside of you, because you don't really understand what is not working out here. And you also may lose power from that, because we create something, we prepare for something for a task or so. And then the energy is there, but it's not being put into practice. It's not used for what is being made for. Like the circle is not coming to its closure. And then you lose energy because it's not invested in, as it was. And so there might be a lack of happiness or even sadness. And also confusion. You can't see clearly. You have many thoughts, probably interpretations. And so coming to the question, what is actually behind all of that? What are reasons? I don't want to go into this so deeply because I think it's not necessary. It's enough to understand that probably there have been some experiences in my life. It can be my childhood, in my youth age, but also as an adult, which have caused some hurt, some pain inside of me, which were difficult experiences. And out of these experiences, I developed interpretations and they became beliefs. Like a classic example is in a child who hasn't been received that attention and love from its parents. Parents are busy, both are working, and they are stressed with themselves and their own life already. And so they kind of just manage to run life and the child. And so what children actually need is as we know, a lot of personal connection, attention, and that's something beyond just words. It's that energy. So you grow up maybe with some lack of love, some lack of being seen. And then one interpretation could be that I'm not worth it. My parents don't love me, or which is not true, but that's my sense making. I don't understand their complicated work life, why they are always so stressed. I may interpret that they are stressed maybe because of me, I'm a burden, whatever. These kind of things, and then that can become a belief. So if that's my belief, and it can be quite unconscious, that's how I, that belief is like interfering in my interpretation of life as well. My interpretation of how people see me, how people respond to me. They might be very neutral, very open, but I interpret it in a negative way, for example. I don't think they see me or they mean me, because that's what I deeply believe. I'm not seen. I'm not worthy of being appreciated and included or so. So that's kind of my worldview with which I run through life. Another example would be mobbing, which is a very, very harmful experience for children or young people, youth, or even I also know adults who have experienced that in their work life. And even as an adult, it can be very damaging deeply. So that can lead to these kind of diverted perceptions of reality. Okay, so I wonder, mobbing is bullying. Yeah, right. Thank you. So just take a moment and step into that, into these shoes, into that feeling. Maybe you have a concrete example of yourself, or you know others where you, with others, we can always observe it much more easily, because we are not involved emotionally when people misinterpret something. Just see and become aware of that situation, what that actually means for your own inner self. It's actually a quite challenging situation because it's like a core of your being, your sense making ability is harmed, is disturbed. It's not functioning properly. And so that can lead to a lot of insecurity. It's like, for example, if you need glasses and you don't have your glasses on, it makes you insecure and you cannot see properly. So that's an uncomfortable feeling. And I think these feelings, to recognize these feelings and understand that they are coming from something and is from some lack of proper sense making, reasoning, is in itself an important realization. Generally, these very simple or fundamental realizations are very, very important, I feel, and help me a lot. So because what does that mean? When I realize somehow I'm not able to analyze or interpret life, situations, people in the right way, that's important to notice in itself. That means, okay, first of all, okay, I can see why and work on that, but I can also start to question my interpretations when I realize that. So maybe that's not what this person believes of me or thinks of me or what this person meant. Or that's maybe not the situation I saw in that moment happening. So I can, because often, I mean, at least I was very convinced that I understand what's going on that this is what is happening. But then I had to really discover that something completely else is happening. It's just I made it up, you know. So these are very fundamental realizations, I think, and considerations, which are very helpful because it allows you to step back for a moment and have another view, have another try to interpret what's going on. So from the Raj Yoga philosophy, we have a very useful concept for this process. And here we learn that we have three powers inside of us. And one is the mind, the machine with which we create thoughts. And thoughts are energy. You can think one thought and you can feel if it's a negative, a positive, or whatever thought. That's something you can do very quickly, and you experience that thought. And then you have the ability to understand your reasoning, your intellect. I would like to talk a little bit about these two and what's happening with them in this process of self-sabotaging. There's a third one, which actually I also have to mention here. And this is called patterns of thinking and behaving. And these patterns of sense-making and beliefs are connected with that. It's like more on the subconscious. It's everything which goes with, which works automatically inside of you. So when a situation comes in front of you and your beliefs tell you, okay, that's what's happening. You know, you are, for example, not invited, or you're not appreciated, or you're not seen as capable, whatever, or you believe that yourself about yourself. So then that are the thoughts, or some thoughts are coming in that direction. And sometimes they are not very easy to catch. They're very hidden, but they are there. And sometimes you want to do something, you go somewhere, you want to talk to someone, and then suddenly this mind is going crazy. A lot of thoughts are created, and oh no, this would be wrong, and you have to be somewhere else, it's not appropriate, whatever. And then the intellect, the reasoning gives you wonderful explanations about why it's not like that, what you first wanted to do. A situation is different, or you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't go up and present something, whatever, talk to that person. So there is a bit of a chaos inside of yourself, and you recognize it, that you get tensed, your physical body get tensed, your mind get tensed, and usually your mind works quite fast, and there are many different voices. And your intellect, your ability to make sense, to understand something, comes up with so many different interpretations and reasons. And based on these wrong beliefs. And that's a very exhausting and confusing moment. It's actually very painful when you're in such a situation. So I remember from myself that I had this for a long time, like a second voice in my mind telling me that I'm doing something wrong, or that this and this is not appropriate, or that it's like, sometimes it wasn't even that clear, like a voice. It was more someone like pulling me back, like an invisible hand pulling me back. And as I said, my mind would be suddenly very confused. And I could observe that, and still it was so strong and manipulating me a lot. And of course, in the beginning, it was when I started to fight against it or to change that, it was a real fight, like a war inside myself. And I said, okay, how can I start getting a foot in the door here, as we say in German? I don't know if that's a way you say that. Like, how can I start making a change? And again, I would start with very, very simple truths or sentences. For example, when I would recognize my mind going crazy, I would just start to think very positive, slow thoughts. And when I would take sorrow from something, from some situation or someone excluding me, I would just say everything is okay. Or having fear of not doing the right thing, I would just say, I'm good. It's all good. It will work out. And it needed to be such short, very positive sentences, internally spoken with a lot of love, because this vibration and energy of generating positivity was so much needed, because it's so draining, these situations. And so I used my mind very consciously. I wouldn't make a decision or do anything until my mind was more peaceful. And with my intellect or my reasoning, I would basically concentrate and try to go inside as much as I can and connect with my inner truth, with what felt authentic. And just be very, very positive towards myself, like encouraging, basically. And whenever thoughts came from these old beliefs or negative thoughts, I say that I turn them around. Like I say, like for example, time is up, and then I say, I have enough time. Or as I said, it will work out. It will be exactly in the right moment. And because these processes of sabotaging are so mean, you can say, and so tricky and clever and powerful, that it needs so powerful sentences or thoughts where I can anchor myself quickly, and they are able to generate energy in that moment to calm me, to give me a warm feeling. And then at the same time, this concentration to really like this turbulence, it pulls you away from yourself. It kind of pulls you out, and you are more and more trying to orientate in the world, but you can't because the filters in between are so so thick and so strong. So the only thing is to connect with my inner truth and just become still. And there's also where power lies, and that's the power of positivity, of being able to perceive things in a more subtle way again. And slowly, these two practices, working with my thoughts, working with my ability to focus and connect, build power. And of course, that's what we do in meditation to prepare for challenging moments. But to do that in that moment where something hits you and you get into trouble and total chaos, that's the difficult thing. And it's only, for me, it's only through practice possible to not be impressed by these voices inside, not get myself confused or irritated by wrong interpretations coming from me. And then another practice in terms of other people, like I really consciously made it a habit to create the belief that everyone is very positive about me. It's a bit funny because usually people are neutral, but I would just think this person is happy that I'm present, you know, just something positive. And I'm happy that this person is present, like this, to make it a bit also of fun for myself, to just change things around and not give up by forces which are, yeah, so mean actually. And have compassion and love for myself because, well, that's just not a comfortable place to be in. And whatever created that state of mind, that's whatever it was, it doesn't actually matter. It's just as it is. And so let me have compassion for myself and try to be as supportive and understanding and loving as I can. With others, that's usually much more easy. Like, for example, with children, we when we see children are suffering or being challenged or have a lack of self-respect and are shy, I think it's a very natural process. You want to encourage that child. Or even a colleague, you understand how that feels to be in a weak place. And so can I do that for myself too? Can I be a parent for myself or a friend where I encourage myself? I actually did that. I reached a moment where I was so hurt by people, by situations, by myself, that I had to make a decision that I felt like I die. I lost happiness, everything, or I really very, very systematically and strategically build now power, positivity and power inside myself. So I made a conscious decision to not allow any negative thought anymore about myself or also about others or the world, to just feed myself, give myself drops and drops and drops of positive energy so that my energy level slowly, slowly could build. And it took quite a while because I had been running in such a difficult state. And so in that sense, it was like the situation which kind of forced me to be that consequent and strategic with myself, because there was in a way no other choice. I had to give myself that treatment of positivity and love. And then also I understood that I need to give myself extra love, because there is a lack of love. Whatever is the reason doesn't matter, but that not being able to believe, to always come from a start of interpreting the positive, but rather the negative, then would tell me that, okay, there I need more love, I need more positivity. And so I just made that a daily practice. And in Raj Yoga, we have another step in the meditation process, which is very, very helpful and useful. And that's connecting with another source of energy. There is a source of energy inside of us, like the spiritual being, spiritual being we are is one, but then we also connect to another being, a source like the divine source of energy, a very, very positive source which we need to use, because at one point if you really come out of that confusion and mess, it's usually not possible to only do it with your own leftover energy. So it's helpful to, after connecting to your inner self, your self, to connect to that divine source. And you can just imagine a very positive light there, and take that light and take that love inside. And that was also very, very helpful. So that's the basic, I think, practice to understand how to deal with these machines inside, this mind and this reasoning power, this intellect, and working with them like this slowly changes your patterns. You will see that over time it's much less that the thought emerges, not for me, or you stop mixing up dates and times and lose out chances, but you become interested and motivated to make sure that you got it right and you are at the right time in the right place. And if you research a little bit more, like I was now talking about love a lot, what it is that is lacking inside and causes this confusion, wrong belief. Sometimes it can appear when you just look, put, you know, next to each other all the different situations where certain things happened again and again, and then you kind of can see a topic, a theme there, and then you can, you know, you can guess, or it becomes clear what your confusion is about. It can be trust, you know, you don't trust yourself because maybe you've done a big mess at one point and you didn't expect that, and so you're not trusting yourself anymore that you will be able to do something. Other people don't trust you, and then you practice trusting yourself. No, I would like how you speak positive to someone else. You make it. Of course you will do it. You start to do that for yourself. And I'm like, yeah, I will make it. It will work out. Or you practice trusting others in their good vision for you. I trust that person is wanting something good for me. And that doesn't mean to be naive or blind against people who are not kind, but it really turned out very, very good for me to always start consciously with the perspective other people want something good for me. And if they wouldn't, I would recognize it quickly as well. But first of all, that would be my belief, a consciously created belief. And even if something where I would usually then take it as device, proof, that, okay, this person has negative thoughts for me, I would still not accept that. I would not go for that interpretation anymore so quickly like this. So in the middle here, what I haven't mentioned but was talking about is really my relationship to myself, to become a friend and to become very supportive towards myself. And so being happy about any step I go, being compassionate and understanding, and also giving myself time and patience, being patient with myself. I certainly had also a lot of pushing myself, this kind of habit to do more. And I saw that, I need time to heal. I need time to get clear. I need time to, you know, clear confusion and to turn around my thoughts, my patterns, my beliefs. And that does take time. but it's so worth it. And of course, thoughts also came that I spent so much time on this and I'm not, you know, able to use the time for something else. But it really paid off, you can say. It really, first of all, if you don't do that inner work, it will run after you. There comes a moment where you cannot run away from it. And you can bypass it for a long time, but you will not reach where you really want to reach. And it's a pity also because there is so much happiness in living to your full potential. And sabotaging yourself means really to ignore the abilities and potentials you really have and to prevent yourself from being successful. And that's not very kind. It's not at all nice. So out of love for myself, that let me take that whole opportunity, that variety of variety what life is offering, and just imagine and expect that many beautiful things can come. There is also, I mean, sometimes with job, looking for jobs, not getting jobs, I totally don't believe anymore in there are not enough jobs, or there's not so much opportunity, or too many people concurrence there, and I'm not able to, you know, make it. I have seen so many wonders just believing that's possible and going for it, and things came to me. That's really turning around. Usually, that's from my understanding how life should be. Like, things should come your way. If you send something out, if you prepare for it, you call it into your life, you allow it to come, then it will come. If the intention is genuine and pure for a better good, that's really my understanding and my experience in terms of my relationship with life. And so it's totally turned around from life presenting you opportunity and you don't take them, towards asking or creating these thoughts and ideas so that life can even bring more to you. And another thing is with relationships, maybe to understand that quite likely many people have this confusion inside, the difficulty to match the real world with your inner world and to understand what's really happening in a situation. Situations are also often quite complex, and they are indeed not easy always to understand or to recognize what's happening in a situation. And so I see a question, but I'm not sure if I already supposed to take them.
We'd like to have a meditation, short meditation, and then I will put the questions to you.
Okay, shall we do the meditation now?
Please, that would be lovely.
Okay. So, just sit relaxed and breathe. Step inside and just become the observer of yourself. Allow your mind to become peaceful. And get close to yourself. That means feel that part inside of you, which is absolutely authentic, where you can relax and feel comfortable. Keeping that state of mind where I'm peaceful, where I'm close to myself, gives me a safe space inside. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me put the questions to you. So the first question I have for you is, I have a hobby playing an instrument, but I sometimes don't want to practice. I felt I was sabotaging myself, or is it just simply laziness?
Well, it can be both. I cannot answer it in that way. Like clearly this or that, but you can observe yourself why you don't do it. Are you not interested in the instrument or in playing, or do you really feel you want to, but somehow you don't do? And then maybe just make it a conscious decision to practice at a certain day and see if you, without thinking, but see if you can do it. And if you something comes in between and you don't know why, even though you decided to do it, then that might be a hint that there is something else which is kind of coming in the way, blocking you to do that.
Okay, all right. Here's the second one. Did you get over the shame and guilt that came from feeling negative when you decided not to feel negative?
Shame and guilt is an amazing topic. And first of all, again, to understand how low this energy level of these two feelings is, I think there is a scala, and it's very, very low, like draining feelings. So to understand that these feelings are very, very damaging. So I shouldn't allow them to stay with me. And if they are there and they're popping into these thoughts, pop into my mind to create these feelings, then, like for example, I would remember embarrassing situations. And usually then I would remember them over and over again. And I just became determined not to do that anymore. First of all, they are over anyway. No need to cultivate these feelings inside of me. But then also coming from that understanding how much damage it does to me. So be very consequent, very determined to throw these thoughts out very quickly. And if it's not thoughts only, but like a deep attitude. And maybe you're ashamed of your body or whatever, to really also needs more power, needs more practice in terms of turn that around. Start to love your body and be very, very like appreciative of it and tell yourself how good this body is. And for example, you know, and be kind, give it movement, give it healthy food and fresh air and all of these things. Like you can develop a relationship with your body or whatever it is.
Thank you. Next question. They're flooding in at this point now. So, how long did it take you to see the change in your self-talk?
Well, it's from a very destructive state of mind to a state of mind where I'm really, really free and light, and these thoughts are not coming. That did take quite a while, but the change started immediately. And each moment of change is already such a relief. You feel lighter and lighter and lighter. But as I said, it was quite extreme from where I came and where I reached. So that it was a journey, and it's of course a never-ending journey. I'm sure there's a lot of more to develop. But the change, quite the moment you make it systematically, and not just you know by it once in a while, but you really make it a focus in your life to every day think. Turn around these thoughts, then you will see after a very short time how you will see a change.
Okay, now following that question is, can you talk more about connecting to your inner truth? How do you do that? What does it mean? What's the steps?
Thank you. Very practical, good questions. I love this word perceiving. And it's like an ability which we can develop quite a lot, subtle perception. And it's a feeling also you can say, but it's not a sensual feeling. It's a feeling as a perception which is not physical. So it's like you turn if you're the one living, looking through these eyes, and you turn inside, look into yourself. You can also look into a mirror and look into your eyes in the mirror for some time, and just try to see the. Sorry, I don't know how to turn this off here. Is it in the Zoom or?
Yes, it's coming through. We're getting a little bit of entertainment.
Okay, so it's. You look into your eyes, into the mirror, and yet do you just try to see the being you are, not this body, but see the being and feel through the eyes the vibration of yourself. And then, you know, I mean, sometimes it's just it's not so complicated. You just sit down and become very calm and silent, and you think truth, and you just think the word truth, and you go inside. Means like, well, I don't know how to. It's not so complicated. You just stay with the feeling, and maybe for in the beginning you feel the tension of your body, is the stress, whatever the stress in your mind and so on, but you just wait and keep breathing deeply and wait until a different experience emerge. And it's an intention you set. The intention is to get in touch with you, and you can remind yourself that what we really are is beautiful, and you want to get to know yourself more. Like, this is an intention. You want to discover who you really are. You want to get closer to that beauty. And for that, you have to listen. It's like when you want to get to know someone, or you're dealing with a shy child, it wouldn't speak to you and open up that quickly. You would need to build a trust with that child or with that person. So you just be there and spend some time, and you give that feeling of presence, and that you can do with yourself too. You just spend that time, and you convince yourself that you are actually interested in yourself.
Okay. The next question. I find I sabotage myself when I make plans to be self-disciplined in daily activities and in finding balance in doing them. Do you have any suggestions as how I might overcome this?
So the situation is, whilst planning, I'm sabotaging myself.
I sabotage myself when I make plans to be self-disciplined in
Self-discipline.
daily activities.
Well, I'm not so sure about the situation, but maybe we can make unrealistic plans, either too challenge, too big, like not possible that for anyone to fulfill all of that. So that's already in the planning. You plant the seed for failure or for not being able to reach it because it's not realistic. It's too much. Then maybe see the planning first of all more an exploration or a practice to develop the skill to plan more realistic, so that you don't give yourself the experience again and again that you're not able to fulfill that plan and tick everything off. But try then to plan less, or plan pauses. Plan also moments where you check how you feel and how you are, what your thoughts are, and if the rest of the plan is still fitting, something like this.
Okay, and if you've done all of that and you get into the habit of trying to do things with that discipline, but one day you wake up and you think, I'm not going to do that. I don't feel like it. How do you handle that?
I think it's so important to, first of all, respond to yourself with openness and understanding, and start a conversation. Why do you don't want to do that? Why don't you want to do that plan? Is that plan something which just came from your head, maybe, and your heart is not included? It's you don't enjoy your own plan or whatever you want to do. And just start to get in a conversation with yourself and take yourself serious. Take your feelings serious. It's like Sometimes we can really be so hard with ourselves or misuse ourselves in the way that we, you know, put something on us which is not what we feel comfortable with, and respect that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next question is, I'm self-employed and sometimes I have days where I feel blocked and unproductive and feel like I am sabotaging my growth. What would you recommend on those days?
I know these moments also. Again, I started to accept them and don't feel bad about it. And think that there must be reason for it. And my intention is the main thing. If I from my heart, I want to do the best. I want to be the best. But I don't know how, and I don't have the energy, or it just doesn't get into a flow. Then that's the moment. That's how it is for that moment. And I think to accept that in the first place is so important, rather than, you know, beating yourself up, feeling guilty or bad about it. This is all not helpful. And then again, I mean, I don't know why, but today I'm not having much to do with children, but ideas, I mean, examples of children come to mind. It's like you try to get towards that child inside of yourself. You try to inspire and understand. And I mean, there is often it is connected to love. You know, when I don't feel enough love inside myself, I'm dry, I'm not motivated, I'm not productive. So there's dose of love I can give to myself is usually working wonders. And that part of expression of love is understanding, is care, is patience, is a loving attitude.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Carolyn, how did you become? The next question is, how did you become so successful with your career when you had these negative thoughts? Was it due to the change that you talked about, the way you talk to yourself?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, as I said, I started to believe things are possible, rather than, no, that's not realistic and so on. Or I have to be, there's no choice. I have to be in this kind of work scenario, even though it doesn't make sense to me. No, I just didn't force myself into things anymore, which didn't feel good or right. And started to believe that there are possibilities. Everything is possible. And this is really an important start, and trusting also myself that, like so many people have fear that they don't have enough money and all of that. But I felt like, first of all, I know how to live with very little money. So that's already quite a good thing to get, which gives you a good feeling of freedom. You can live with little money. And then secondly, I'm ready to learn whatever I need to learn. If it's something it makes sense to me or is worth learning. So that's good that I told myself. I'm willing to learn and adjust with whatever is necessary. And I do have some, a lot of life experience already. So that's also most important. So many people at work cause problems because they are difficult people, or jealousy or whatever. And I don't, I can get along with people, and I'm very willing to get along with people. That's also good. So I just made myself aware of all the positive things I have as something which capital, you can say. And then I started to become clear what I really would like to do. And then it came.
Thank you, everybody, for the questions that you have been sending through and your sharings that you have sent through. I'm very sorry I can't actually give those to Carolyn, but I hope you've enjoyed the talk as much as I have this evening. Carolyn, it's been a delight to have you, and your sharings were definitely insightful and also eye-opening. So thank you very much for that.